Next Tuesday is primary day in two more states, North Carolina and Indiana. North Carolina is predicted to be a winner for the Obama campaign, but Indiana is another story.
On your feet and celebrate your Hoosier pride as the Marching 100 presents Indiana Fight!
Polls in the Hoosier State have the Democratic candidates neck and neck, and the fight for every vote is fierce. Now, there are a few things you may or may not know about Indiana. It's the childhood home of John Mellencamp and the current home of Indianapolis Colts, the 2006 winners of the Super Bowl. Indiana sent one of its own to the White House back in 1889, good old Benjamin Harrison, as the country's 23rd president. But it's been a long time since Indiana figured prominently in any real way in a presidential bid. The state has been a reliable name in the Republican column since 1964. Matt Tully is a political columnist from the Indianapolis Star. He says all that may change after next Tuesday's primary. Hey, Matt.
How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
So my pleasure.
Right now, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama appear to be in a dead heat.
Yeah, a couple of recent polls have showed Hillary pulling away a little bit, but the most recent poll that we did and the more reliable ones that I've seen show it neck and neck and kind of too hard to predict with the turnout that we're expecting next week.
What are the messages from each camp? How are the two candidates trying to differentiate themselves within an Indiana context?
Well, you know, the main differentiation has been that Obama, obviously, as we all know, has been on the defensive all week leading up to the primary, while Clinton's been able to get out there talking about, you know, the economy and gas prices and going to these manufacturing towns. Obama's had to deal with his Reverend Wright flap. So in the last few days, at least, she's had the advantage of being able to be on the offensive. But both of them have been out there talking about the economy. Indiana's a pretty easy state to figure out what the issues are. It's a state that, you know, sure, we're going through a downturn like the rest of the country right now, but we've had economic struggles for quite some time, even before this recent downturn. So candidates know when they come in here that you hit the manufacturing towns, you talk to blue-collar workers, and you try to reach out to them.
Let's talk a little bit about what appear to be some shifting sands, or maybe it's just that this Democratic primary is just that interesting. But some of the reports that I was reading in preparation for this conversation said that there's evidence that there's some flip-flopping going on. There's an open primary situation in Indiana. Have you seen evidence of that?
Well, we are an open primary state, so you can show up next Tuesday and you could ask for a Democrat ballot regardless of your voting history. You don't really register as a member of the party. You're just saying that year you happen to think you're going to support Democratic candidates if you're voting in that primary. So we're expecting to see a lot of people who haven't voted in Democratic primaries ever before, and definitely not in recent years, do so this year. The vast majority of people that I've talked to that are going to do that are people that are maybe they're soft Republicans or independents, and they're frustrated with the Bush administration or the way things are going in the country, and they just want to change. There's been a little talk of kind of games playing, people trying to mess with the Democratic primary by voting in. But for the most part, I think what we're seeing is, you know, you mentioned it's been a long time since we've had a primary that mattered, and we've just picked up the sense that people want to participate in this election. There's not a whole lot going – actually, there's virtually nothing going on the Republican side of the ticket in this primary, so people want to participate in the one that matters.
Hmm. So we talked a little bit about, you mentioned the strong manufacturing presence in Indiana, but what can we drill down a little more into that? What are the candidates saying about the economic situation in Indiana? If this is such a hot button topic there, where do they stand on the economy in Indiana? How do their messages differ, or are they the same?
There's very little. Even both the candidates, when they came into our editorial board in the past couple of days, acknowledge there's not huge differences in our policies. Unlike other states, there hasn't been a lot of talk about trade deals and that kind of thing. It's been much more kind of high-minded talk about getting a president in that shifts the way we tax, that puts more taxes on oil companies and big businesses, and starts thinking about the common worker. When they're out there, they're not really laying out their policy positions about what they would specifically do. It's much more high-minded talk. The biggest debate regarding the economy has been obviously about gas prices, and Senator Clinton has been pushing, touting her plan to suspend the gas tax for the summer. Barack Obama has a new campaign ad that's a pretty effective ad. It's him talking to a crowd in Indiana and poking fun at her plan, you know, kind of saying, boy, that would save you about half a tank of gas is what the savings would add up to. And then they show people in the crowd kind of chuckling at the idea of that. So that's probably been the main issue that they've bickered on in the past few days here in Indiana is Senator Clinton's gas tax plan.
Matt, could you explain to me why Indiana is so solidly Republican, especially in presidential elections? If you look at Ohio to the east, that's always a bellwether. Yeah. Illinois trends Democrat. Kentucky to the south also could go either way. But there's Indiana acting more like Idaho or Utah, given
right.
its geography. Why is it so conservative?
Well, Mike, you nailed it with your question, because it's presidential elections. If you look at our gubernatorial elections and our Senate races, we often elect Democrats. So we have a Republican governor right now, but before him, we had four consecutive Democratic gubernatorial victories. One of our two U.S. senators is a Democrat.
In fact, their last name is usually Bi.
Exactly.
Because Evan and Birch is.
If you look at our U.S. House delegation, a majority is Democratic. Same goes for our state house. What you see, though, on the national level, and why it's usually gone for Republicans at the national level, is Indiana Democrats are a lot more moderate than the national party has typically been. So the candidates that the national party nominates for president usually are further to the left of Indiana Democrats. So they don't play well here in Indiana. Guys like John Kerry do not play well here in Indiana. If you look at the people who have been successful, like Evan Bi, most of their career, they've been moderates and even kind of poked fun at as Republicans in Democratic clothes. So it's just been a difference between the type of politicians that get nominated here in Indiana for statewide offices are a lot different than politicians that get nominated for federal offices by other states.
Matt, speaking of geography, there are a couple of congressional districts or a couple of districts in Indiana that are geographically situated quite close to the Chicago metropolitan area.
Yeah.
They have been in Obama's sphere of influence for a long time. They've seen him as a politician on the public stage for many years. Is that to his advantage or disadvantage?
No, it's definitely to his advantage. That's the Northwest Indiana area. You've probably heard of Gary, Indiana. That's the kind of heart of that area. It's a very big Democratic area. It's not only the second most populous area of the state, but it's the most hardcore Democratic area.
And the city of Gary is something like 85% African American.
I think it's actually closer to 90.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. He plays very well up there. In the entire area up there, he's playing well because they've, you know, I grew up in Gary, actually, in and around Gary. And when you live there, you almost think you live in Chicago, or you like to tell yourself that you do, because you watch Chicago TV. You root for the, as I always say, you root for the Bears and the Bulls, not the Colts and the Pacers.
Wow.
And so, you know, if you ask a lot of people up there who their senator is, some might even think that he's their senator because they've heard so much about him in recent years. But one advantage, so that's the advantage for him. Senator Clinton, on the other hand, has an advantage because it's a very blue-collar area, a lot of older folks up there, a lot of places, Portage, Indiana, Valparaiso, Indiana, kind of working class whites that she's done well with.
Well, I imagine this weekend is going to be chock full for you. Lots of events, lots of stumping. Matt Tully, political columnist from the Indianapolis Star. Hey, Matt, thanks. We appreciate you being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And coming up on the Bryant Park Project, it's the BPP Book Nook Block. It's not as cozy as it may sound. A new book of photos on black metal and a meeting of the BPP Book Club. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.